WBEN,
Buffalo, New York.
Big day for you today. We're talking about the year 1965 now as we go backward. Oh, time and thy flight. And Linda Bennett has stopped off to see us on her way to Vegas, where she opens at the International.
Mm-hmm.
What date?
I open on Thursday the 6th. What's today? Oh,
this is the 10th. You've been there 4 days. I think that's marvelous. That's what we can do with tapes.
When you're having a good time, it really flies by.
I really got myself together.
Good for you. And Richard Hayes. And with us today are three gentlemen from West Point. And we're going to have something very special to talk about with them. But I'm going to ask Linda to open the proceedings to get everybody in a good mood. If you would, please, dear. Linda Bennett.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. Lord, we don't need another mountain. There are mountains and hillsides enough to climb. There are oceans and rivers enough to cross, enough to last till the end of time. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Oh, no, not just for some, for everyone. Lord, we don't need another meadow. There are cornfields and wheat fields enough to grow. There are sunbeams and moonbeams enough to shine. Oh, listen, Lord, if you want to know. Just for everyone.
I love to hear her sing. Thank you, Linda. Linda Bennett. One of the most beautiful girls in our profession, too, by the way. And at the International, where she's been playing the last 4 days, be sure you get out there and see her. The International, what? Wait a minute now. Where is that?
The new big hotel, Arthur.
How far from the... The only place I know is the Stardust.
It's off of the Strip. It's not actually on the Strip. It's away from it. I don't even know what street it's on.
You mean there's something else besides the Strip in Las Vegas?
Beg your pardon.
From up in the air, when you look down at night, that's mm-hmm. all you can see is a big streak of light. Never forget the first time I saw it flying out that way in a small plane coming east from L.A. I saw this thing and I thought it was a moon rising. I said, that must be the moon coming up over there. And by golly, it was the lights from Vegas.
I'm opening with a good friend of yours, too, right? Red Skelton?
Oh, he's my father. Give the old son of a gun my love, will
you? I sure will.
Yeah, yeah. And see if you can get him to do some WVC fields for you.
I will. I'm going to tell him that you said that.
Oh, he does the greatest. I just don't understand why somebody doesn't make a movie of WC Fields' life and have Red Skelton play the part.
That would be fabulous.
Nobody can take him off like he can.
I always thought that Ed McMahon would be a terrific WC Fields.
Well, I don't know. I've never heard Ed do that kind
of
thing.
He looks like WC Fields.
Oh, McMahon?
Yes, he does.
Oh, get out of here.
And he drinks as much as WC Fields.
Yeah, but he cooks.
Well, the guy's got to have a hobby, too, doesn't he?
I saw him do a commercial the other day about rice.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, he cooks. Or at least he says he does, and I know Ed's a man of his word. That number you did was very popular in 65, eh?
That's right. It sure
That's
was.
Where it came from. Was it in a show? Was that just a... It was a good song. We're thinking of the year 65. Let's explain to our guests. We're going backwards since the 27th day... since the 3rd of April, which is the 27th day before the end of the month. 27 years ago, we started this show, and on the 29th, we shall complete 27 years, and on the 30th, we'll start the 28th year and then quit. That'll be the shortest year of my life. One day. But, as we're going back, Ann Stahl gave me this idea, that very competent president of her own advertising agency in Bryan, Ohio. She gave me the idea to do this, and I think it's a great one, to go backwards in time down to 1945 when we started on the last day. Here we are in 1965. Let's see, what happened in the weekend? Oh, that's the night they had that big power failure in New York. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Is that time, is that when it was? 65? In November? I remember I took off in my own airplane to go to California, to L.A. for some reason. TV, I guess. And after I got there, they said 5 minutes after you took off, the lights went out. You dirty dog, what'd you do, fly through the wires?
Pulled out the plug.
Yeah, they gave it to me.
You know what happened to me? I got stuck in an agent's office. So I went, I've been hearing all my life about this one notorious agent in New York City who used to be an old lecher.
And there you were.
And I got stuck there for 4 hours in his office in the dark. It was wild, I tell you that.
I just got through telling the lads up in my office about the agents.
Oh, yes.
But I want you to meet these gentlemen. You already have, but let's introduce them to the folks. We have with us, beginning over there on the left, Major Mel Bowden of the U.S. Army, a combat infantryman, I can see from here. And next to him is Cadet Percy Squire. And next to him, second classman, Lenwood Robinson. Lenwood Robinson, they call him Robbie, and Percy Squire is the leader of the black cadets who are putting on a show May the 20th at West Point at the stadium for the purpose of raising some money with which to finance research in the sickle cell anemia field to see if they can't find some way to get rid of this disease, some cure for it, some way to avoid it. If you don't know what sickle cell anemia is, Maybe Percy, you could describe it to us better than any of us. You're familiar with this. Tell us exactly what it is.
It's best I could describe the disease. It's a blood disease similar to something like leukemia that affects about 1 out of every 10 black Americans. The trait normally is found in blacks as a recessive trait in the gene, although I believe it's something like 0.25% have it as a dominant characteristic. And those who do have it, at that stage, it usually tends to be fatal before the 21st year.
Just as though it were cancer, eh?
Yes, sir.
as though it were a form of cancer. And the reason they call it sickle cell is, as I understand it, the cell itself takes on that shape, right?
Yes, sir, that's right.
Of a sort of a quarter moon, crescent moon or something. That's the way it's recognized, eh? How does it manifest itself? People are sickly, weak? Do they suffer badly with it?
Well, I think that one thing that you find is that oxygen starvation occurs in one form as that way, and you will find that people affected by the disease, when in fact it is most acute, one of the symptoms will be sort of a shortness of breath and a difficulty in breathing. And another very serious symptom is the kind of I'm not sure of the medical term, but the blood vessels, the capillaries, cannot you might say cannot absorb because of the sickling of the cells. Capillaries die at the ends of fingers, uh-huh. for example, uh-huh. the ends of toes, and other appendages. That because of the capillaries being blocked, you will actually have these fingers and toes just begin to die for lack of blood.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is a very painful, plus being a fatal kind of disease.
Now, down in Howard University in Washington, I understand, Major, Dr. Roland Scott, who is a professor there, and probably in charge of the medical center, is he?
Yes, sir. He is the director of the Center for Sickle Cell Anemia Research.
And they've been conducting some research on their own for some years, but without much financing, no help of any kind.
That's correct.
It's only in recent months that people have become aware of this, eh?
That's correct.
And it is something that really we ought to get behind and come up with the money to find a way to avoid this, because it is a horrible thing. We should have taken care of it a long, long time ago. But unless you yourself have known of it, as I have a couple of instances, the general public is never aware of it. That's why I asked them to describe it for you. Now, you fellas, how many blacks are there now among the cadets at West Point?
I'm sure there are 118 black cadets presently enrolled.
118?
Yes, sir.
How are they doing scholastically?
Well, sir, I'd say about the only general comment you can make is that the black cadets, I think, are pretty consistent as far as how they are doing within the Corps of Cadets, is right in line with the white cadets. There's really not much of the division that can be made about how black cadets are faring in relation to the white cadets. I think academically, athletically, and all other endeavors, the black cadets are just hanging in with everyone else.
How have you been received there, Led? Well, the other cadets receive you well? Do you get along with them well?
Sir, so again, I have to say it's about the same way as it is in society. You find those who are somewhat more acceptable and somewhat more compassionate, and there are those who are a bit reluctant to accept blacks. I think it's pretty consistent, again, with just the general trends in society.
Hmm. Oh, if we could find the key, huh? Here's young men who go up there to a white man's academy. Tradition has been, what, 250 years or something? 300 years? How long?
170.
Yes. Well, however long it is. And you go in there with two strikes on you just before you start, just because of the fact that you were born black. And yet you stand up with them scholastically and athletically. And how do they stand in their classes, Major?
Well, I think that very, very fine. And at the first class level, Percy's class has very few. I think it's is it nine?
Seven.
Seven that will be graduating this year, the class of 72. So, and in my 3 years there, I haven't had the opportunity to teach too many black cadets. In fact, prior to this semester, I think I taught one black cadet, or excuse me, maybe two black cadets. I do have in my classes two at the present. And I find, just as Percy said, they're on par with their classmates. You find all degrees of scholastic interest and achievement among the black cadets. I have a feeling, however, that since I know so many of them, particularly the firsties, there's a certain greater degree of pressure that is applied to those that I teach, particularly this semester, and they're working real hard because I don't think they want to disappoint me, and I sort of feel that, but they're doing very well anyway. I think they do. The two that I have, two black cadets out of approximately 80-some that are in the course that I direct, 80-some cadets, I think would do very well anyway. But
what
I know
is your course, sir? What is the course you're doing?
It's an elective, and the title of it is Problems of Developing Nations. And we look at the political, social, cultural, and economic problems of development in the third world nations of Africa, Asia, and Latin America. Hmm. And so we sort of cover the waterfront, so to speak.
That's an interesting thing to find, that at the military academies, you, besides learning how to shoot a gun, you find out a lot of things, don't you? That's great that you're looking forward to perhaps being called into that kind of service to help developing countries, eh?
Well, I think that certainly the young man that has those gold bars pinned on when he graduates is going to have some kind of appreciation for non-Western societies in particular, because many of our assignments for army men and their families is in nations that we find in these three areas of the world, Latin America, Asia, and Africa. And we need to certainly send young men there who at least have some real feel for the area, an understanding, an appreciation, a sensitivity. And that's what we try to do.
Let's go on down the line here to the second classman, Lenwood Robinson. Second classman means your second year?
No, sir. It means that I'm a junior, third year.
Third year? What to start with? Fourth?
Yes, sir.
That's the way it is.
Fourth classman.
Fourth classman, third, and then as you'll be... I see. Second classman. The next year you'll be first class as Percy is, eh? Where'd you come from, Lenwood?
Sir, I'm from Philadelphia, PA.
And what made you choose the point?
Well, there's a number of reasons. The academic advantage of going to West Point, career in the service, and athletics.
He's a big fella. What do you play?
Sir, I played football.
Mm-hmm. What's yours, Percy?
I played a sport called 150-pound football until this year I had a back injury that sort of cut my career a little short.
150-pound football?
Right, that's an Eastern League of lightweight football that most of the league schools here on the East Coast have. You have to weigh 154 pounds 2 days prior to the game.
I thought you were going to tell me that's how much the football weighed. Tough game.
Yeah. So that's for little boys.
He's quiet, but he...
Watch out for these big fellas.
You know what, I'd really like to ask the fellas... If you can possibly separate outside of the pressure of being black and you know, going to West Point, you hear so much about it being tough. Because unlike, you know, a college where, can you imagine somebody saying, hey, tuck your shirt tail in? You know, you can go to class any way you want to. But it's a spit and polish of it 24 hours a day. You have to not only dress, but the rules are so rigid. Is it as tough as we hear? Well, you don't have to call me sir, because I was just a corporal. Remember that. Smoke if you got them, fellas. I want you to think of me as just one of the guys.
Well, sir, I would say it's tough in the aspect that it's a tough transition from civilian life. You have to adjust yourself in your own particular priorities of time, mm-hmm. and responsibility to the life that you now lead, as opposed to civilian life when you're more or less on your own to pick and choose what you want to do it and when you want to do it and how you want to do it.
Yeah, but I'm sorry, go ahead, Arthur.
No.
So you were an officer, please.
I just... Stand up when you're talking.
Not me, I'm a civilian.
I just want to say that the first year is deliberately tough, isn't it, to make sure that that's what you want to do. You have the option of getting out of there, don't you?
So it's also a period of, shall we say, indoctrination when they... you adjust your life to the life of the academy and take on the standards that they have set for cadets.
And after a while, you get onto it. It isn't so tough anymore, eh? Or is it?
Speak up now. Come on.
Well, sir, the one thing about West Point with the class system is they have it from the fourth class, in which we call plebes, to the first class, which would be similar to a college senior. As you progress and as you advance within the Corps of Cadets, you acquire additional privileges and you're given additional responsibilities. So the longer you stay, although the more accustomed you come to leading that type of life, the easier it seems to become. Mm. That's my, I think that's opinion.
And when you arrive at this holy state of first classmanship, you really got it by the, you got it licked then, huh?
You can almost slump in a chair when you sit, you know. They loosen up quite a bit.
I think compared to a plebe, you have a lick.
Is there any harassing now, you know, you guys get to be the seniors, do you like to do in other higher schools of learning, colleges, you know, where you harass the juniors or the freshmen as they come in? Any of that stuff go on?
That's
there?
Child games. They don't do that at West Point. They're grown-up men. Richard.
You get a lot of that in your first year, sure, but that's all part of the game. It gets less and less as you go on, doesn't it?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
I mean, there are pranks played. I give them dud hand grenades and things.
Are there? Do you play games on each tricks like you do in your freshman years in college? Silly things?
There are a lot of traditions, and there are pranks that are played. I guess you'd have to just come down to it. There are pranks. Several pranks are played, as a matter of fact. Around the time of the Army-Navy football game or around the time of graduation, the plebes begin to play quite a few pranks on the seniors. And when someone has a birthday or gets engaged or is pinned or something like that, people usually throw them in the showers and run from the officers when they tell them, things like that.
See, just like regular schools.
Yeah. I love that. If he gets engaged, you throw them in the shower, cool them off a little, huh?
Sometimes they have to, I think.
Major Bolton, are you a West Point graduate?
No, sir, I'm not. I'm a graduate of the University of Denver, ROTC.
ROTC, University of Denver. You were... No, you weren't in World War II. You're too young.
No, sir.
Korea? I can't read your ribbons.
No, Vietnam.
Vietnam.
I entered the service in 1958.
58?
I've been in 14 years in June.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then your combat infantry comes from Vietnam?
Yes, sir.
You're also a paratrooper, do I not see?
Yes, sir.
And so are you,
Percy,
I see.
Percy, yeah.
Where are you stationed in Vietnam?
I was in the Delta region, the Fourth Corps, it's still called that, and in a province called Ba Swin. And I was a district senior advisor with MACV, with the Military Assistance Command Vietnam. And my district was called Mi Swin. Actually, I had two districts. I served as district advisor to Mi Swin for about 7 months, and then the remaining 5 months, I was in another district called Quezon, the same province, another district, as advisor.
Hmm. Let's hope that by the time these lads are out, there'll be no more point in going over there. That's getting to be a real pain, huh? But let's talk now about the show. I want to be sure everybody understands. The 20th of May, I want you to put that date down. In the first place, it's Armed Services Day, right? And that's when the most people would be going to the point anyhow. But we want you to come to the point on that day to attend a big show to be given to be held in the stadium, which holds 41,000 people. We hope we can get them standing after that. At $5 a piece, if we could get 30,000, that would be 150 grand. To be sent down to Howard University to be used in research work in the search for the cure or the abolishment of sickle cell anemia. And I think that this is the first time anything like this has ever been done at this point in the academy. Uh-huh. And whose idea was it?
Sir, that's really kind of a long story. We were talking over on the way down here. The idea originated about a year ago, this month, when we were formulating a year-end planning letter for what we'd like to do with the organization that we have at West Point in terms of projects for this present year. And one of our officer advisors, Wise, mentioned to us that a disease that hadn't been brought to the attention of many people, who that there was a a lot of need for funds and research was sickle cell anemia. And she said, we might consider doing something, you know, that the benefits, the proceeds would go to sickle cell anemia. And as a result, it sort of snowballed from the idea of giving some sort of a minor talent show to having a fundraising drive and to this benefit that we hope to put on the 20th of May, that we're going to put on the 20th of May.
So that's what I like to hear you say. We're going to put it on. We could get fellas like Cosby, Nipsey Russell, and a bunch of big names, I'm sure, will be delighted to come to help you with this on the 20th of May. Whatever I can do, I shall be happy to do. And I want to keep reminding you folks about that until we close up shop here on the 30th, that you must keep this down in your book now. If you're going to be anywhere near the West Point area on the 20th of May, Armed Services Day, there's where you're going, with $5 in your hot little hand to pay for attending this show. And that money will, all of it, will go to the research fund for sickle cell anemia. It's a great joy to meet you fellas. My contact at the Point has been Bud Buchel. I'm sure you know all of you, don't you? He also is a professor there.
Yes, sir.
And
I used to know Tyrone Power from up there. Remember that movie? The Long Gray Line.
Oh, Long Gray Line.
Oh, Richard, you're beautiful.
When I was in the Army, I used to go up there quite often to West Point. I used to do a show. I was in recruiting when I was in the Army, and I used to do a show called This is West Point, and I used to announce it. And it was quite funny at the beginning until I heard it back. I used to say, this is West Point. Coming from Brooklyn, I didn't know.
I forgot to ask you, Percy, where do you come from?
I'm Mr. Godfrey. I'm from Youngstown, Ohio.
And Major Bowden?
Born and raised in Los Angeles, California.
Uh-huh. A Californian, a Philadelphian, and an Ohioan. And to those of you who missed what we were talking about, it's sickle cell anemia, a blood disease which seems to be peculiarly a black human being disease. Only the blacks are susceptible, and only a very small portion of them. I think it's 0.25% or something like that, but even though that's a small percentage, we should try to eradicate the disease because it brings on, it's akin to leukemia, and most people who have it are born with it and rarely live beyond their majority. And the money thus raised at the benefits show at the Point in the stadium, West Point, on the 20th of May, will go to support research under the direction of Dr. Roland Scott of Howard University in Washington at the Medical Center. We're very happy to have you here. I'm very happy to use this program to publicize this big thing that you're going to do. The first time anything like this has been attempted at the Military Academy at the Point, and we'll do all we can to help you make it a huge success.
Thank you.
This program was edited to comply with time requirements. WBEN, Buffalo, New York.